Hello again and welcome to another edition of Dakota Digest, brought to you by South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Nate Weck and thanks for joining me once again. Here is the top radio news of South Dakota Public Broadcasting for the week ending October 14th. U.S. Senate hopeful Democrat Jay Williams and incumbent Republican Senator John Thune met on South Dakota Public Broadcasting TV to discuss various issues impacting the country. As SDPB's Lee Strubinger reports, during the forum, the candidates discussed the economy, ISIS, and Social Security.
Republican U.S. Senator John Thune and Democratic candidate Jay Williams faced off for the first time in the 2016 election season last night. One of Thune's messages this campaign is growing the economy at a 3% rate. He says tax reform will help achieve this. Specifically, he says lowering the tax rate and creating economic incentives for investment will help grow the economy.
But the purpose of tax reform ought to be economic growth. Because what solves all these problems we're talking about? You want to see deficits get smaller? You want to be able to pay down debt? Get the economy growing at a more traditional 3 to 3.5% rate instead of the 1% rate that we've seen this year and the 1 to 2% that we've seen for the balance of the Obama administration. That's what will help get us back on a more secure fiscal track. Reduced and restrained spending and economic growth.
Thune says removing exclusions and special interest loopholes are also needed in tax reform. But Democrat Williams disagrees that reducing taxes will fix the economy. He says the top 1% of income earners need to pay their fair share. Williams also says the government needs to focus on investing in public works programs to build up infrastructure in places like South Dakota.
We could build the electric grid that we desperately need to go from fossil fuels to clean energy. Here in South Dakota, we've got lots of wind. Everybody in South Dakota knows the wind blows, but we can't take that wind energy, harness it, and distribute it around the country because we don't have the electric grid we need. And to build that electric grid, it's a big, huge public works project on par with the interstate highway system that was a Republican program.
Williams says infrastructure investment will put money into the hands of working people who will spend it. Thune has served as U.S. Senator since 2004. He says he will continue promoting small and efficient government. Williams says he's not a politician, but that he represents the interests of everyday South Dakotans.
The chairman of the National Endowment for the Arts was in South Dakota over the holiday weekend. Jane Chu visited the Pine Ridge Reservation, the Black Hills Powwow, and took part in two ceremonies that acknowledged Native American cultures, past and present. SDPB's Jim Kent has the story.
NEA Chairman Jane Chu was in the Black Hills on a twofold mission. First was the repatriation of Oglala Lakota cultural audio artifacts from the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress to Oglala Lakota College.
The first recordings were created in 1896 by Alice Cunningham Fletcher, and she made them in Washington, D.C., and the purpose was to record and preserve the sounds of the people. Those recordings were of sacred music that was created by an Oglala Lakota Sundance singer named Thunder Bear.
The second set of audio artifacts were created during World War II.
About 8 hours of recordings that were made by Willard Rhodes here on the Pine Ridge Reservation between 1941 to about 1947.
Chu says these recordings include secular music. She says they're accompanied by photographs and journal writings that reflect the lives of the Oglala Lakota during that time period. Moving forward to contemporary Native American culture, Chairman Chu attended the Community Spirit Awards ceremony. Hosted by First Peoples Fund, the awards acknowledge the contributions of Native leaders in their communities.
It's about recognizing that how the power of the arts and culture bring positive changes to Native communities. And the National Endowment for the Arts mission is to make sure that all Americans have the opportunity to be engaged with and benefit from the arts.
Jane Chu is a first-generation Chinese American who grew up in Oklahoma and Arkansas. Chu says she can attest to the need for everyone to learn how to understand and appreciate the various backgrounds and cultures that comprise our country. She adds that the arts can be an excellent tool for greater understanding among people to facilitate cross-cultural appreciation.
Goat Island has a new caretaker following a 20-year dispute. Ownership of the 500-acre strip of land on the Missouri River between South Dakota and Nebraska has been contested since 1999. SDPB's Lee Strubinger has more.
Officials say now that the Goat Island dispute is settled, the National Park Service can manage the area in ways that boosts recreational opportunities. Attorney General Marty Jackley says the dispute over Goat Island began when Bill Janklow was the Attorney General in the mid-70s. Jackley says the Missouri River is in constant flux. That, he says, created boundary disputes between the two states.
This really has been an opportunity for the state of South Dakota, Nebraska, and the federal government to say it's time to really put aside our differences, and instead of worrying about where the boundary's at, worry about our citizens and the opportunities that we have to facilitate recreation, hunting, and really improve the island.
Goat Island is now part of the Missouri National Recreational River. It's a wild stretch of the mighty Mo below Yankton that most resembles what the river was like before dams were put in. Jackley says the two states will still have influence over what happens on the island.
There'll be management by the National Park Service with the agreement that both South Dakota and Nebraska will have a say in what is happening on the island. And so really it was a compromise that made sense, that allows South Dakota to continue to have that input.
Jackley says the Yankton Sioux tribe has not been involved in negotiations of Goat Island at this point.
Sunshine Bible Academy, near Miller, is doing pretty well this football season, and they could get into the postseason despite just 14 players on their roster. SDPB's Gary Ellenbolt reports.
Four seniors are on the roster for the Sunshine Bible Crusaders this fall. They're joined by 10 teammates for 14 players available to the team. That's the smallest roster in South Dakota high school football this year. Compare that to a school in 11 AAA, say Brandon Valley, which has about 70 players ready to go. Veteran Sunshine Bible coach Jamie McLean says most seasons, the school from near Miller struggles for numbers.
I first started in 1988, and through the 90s, we averaged probably around 15. And then in the early 2000s, we kind of had an uptick in our enrollment. And we've had as many as 30, I think, for between about 2005 and 2010, we probably averaged 25. And then the last couple of years, we've sort of dipped again, especially with the population on the boys' side.
The Crusaders play in 9B, South Dakota's smallest class, and they sit with a 3-win, 4-loss record. Sunshine Bible closes at home today against unbeaten Potter County. With a bye in the final week of the season, McLean and his squad will have to spend a few days without any idea what the postseason will bring.
Actually, for us, it's going to be kind of a unique week because our seniors take their senior trip. I think they leave Tuesday night, and the rest of the classes have what are called servant days, so they're not even going to be on campus. It's going to be interesting to be sure. We'll have practice Monday and Tuesday. And then we'll find out later in the week, and when we come back together Monday, we'll just have to prepare specifically for whoever we would be playing.
Sunshine Bible's last trip to the playoffs came two seasons ago when 21 players made up the team. The Crusaders lost to Faith 40-16 in round one.
Two of South Dakota's top Republican lawmakers are calling on Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump to drop out of the race. But technically, it's too late for that in South Dakota. The state's ballots have been printed and early voting already started last month. SDPB's Lee Strubinger has more.
Over the weekend, Senator John Thune and Governor Dennis Dugard called on presidential candidate Donald Trump to exit the presidential race. However, both indicate they will vote for the GOP candidate over Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton. Early voting has begun in South Dakota, much like the rest of the country. That means the timeline for Trump to drop off the ticket has passed, despite high-profile Republicans calling for his withdrawal to clear the way for vice presidential nominee Indiana Governor Mike Pence. One popular alternative is the idea of writing in an underdog candidate. But Secretary of State Chantel Krebs says write-in votes do not count.
Somebody might be frustrated and want to write something in. We don't encourage it, but it does not throw out your entire ballot. We've had a lot of questions thinking and misinformation out there saying, well, the entire ballot is thrown out then, and that's not correct. So if you do a write-in, it just wouldn't be counted because state law does not allow it to be counted. And then second of all, it just wouldn't, you know, the next part to that would be that your ballot is still counted based on the race.
Krebs says votes are counted for questions that are marked, She says just because a vote for a particular candidate is skipped doesn't mean the rest of the ballot goes unchecked. She says undervoting is a common practice.
You can mark a few of them. You don't want to mark a couple races, then that's your prerogative, but the ballots are not thrown out.
The voter registration deadline in South Dakota is October 24th, a Monday.
Wednesday was National Fossil Day. The National Park Service set aside this day in 2009. The annual celebration is focused on promoting public awareness and stewardship of fossils, as well as fostering a greater appreciation for their scientific and educational value. SDPP's Jim Kent reports.
Badlands National Park is known for its eroded buttes, pinnacles, and spires. But education technician Ed Welsh says the area has a significant paleontological history.
There's two time frames we represent here at Badlands. We cover some time from near the end of the age of dinosaurs, but we don't find any dinosaurs here. We're actually underwater, part of a seaway here. So everything from the age of dinosaurs we find is aquatic life, things like squid or sharks, big marine reptiles like mosasaurs.
Welsh explains that the Badlands themselves represent the very middle of the age of mammals.
Halfway between now and when the dinosaurs went extinct. So rhinoceroses, camels, we get some of the oldest dogs in the fossil record here. We get these saber-toothed cat-like animals called nimravid.
The public is invited to Badlands National Park today to learn about these mammals and aquatic life through their fossilized remains. Park personnel are also conducting long-distance learning sessions about these fossils with schools from across the country. One local school that's known for its fossil collection is the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology. Sally Shelton is the school's Museum of Geology Associate Director. She says fossils are the only way we have of literally touching the past.
And that's what gives us a window into things such as climate change, geological change, such as which organisms have survived and which have not, and which help us to put a picture of how life on Earth has progressed in the past and what that might tell us about survival today and surviving into the future.
Shelton says if you'd like to conduct your own investigation into the deep past, students from the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology are available this Saturday to help identify fossils for the public, from turtle shells to bezoars.
In a debate this week, Republican Congresswoman Kristi Noem and challenger Democrat Paula Hawks reveal they're sticking to party lines this election. Noem says she's voting for Donald Trump, and Hawks is casting her ballot for Hillary Clinton. SDPB's Keely Boltina joined Dakota Midday with insight from the Noem Hawks Rotary debate.
So Jack Marsh was the moderator and went through the debate, which was an hour long, most of the debate, without mentioning anything. And we were waiting and waiting and waiting, kind of the opposite of what you saw with the debate between the presidential candidates. So when it did come up, his question was, tell me who you are voting for. Why are you supporting this person to be president of the United States? And State Representative Paula Hawks had the opportunity to answer first. When she was asked about that, she commented on Trump's recorded remarks that came out. She said that if her son had said that, she would have washed his mouth out with soap. She said, without getting too detailed, that she doesn't want her two daughters to grow up in a world where they're told they look better on their knees. She said that is unacceptable in someone who wants to run the country. And then also commented that, you know, she's not completely aligned with Hillary Clinton, but thinks that a lot of her ideas and just the professionalism and the tone is better from the Clinton side. Noem said she's voting for Trump when she answered the question because there isn't a single thing that compels her to vote for Clinton. But then she cited many scandals surrounding Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. Then toward the end, she did this little, but just a heads up, I will be a check and balance if Hillary Clinton becomes president, but I'm voting for Trump because he'll support conservative legislation from Congress. So she did get that in, and that's one of the strategies that we've seen national political analysts refer to, saying either they're going to align with Trump or say, hey, if you elect me, I can be your conservative check to the Democratic president.
To hear the full discussion, visit us online at sdpb.org. And that's going to do it for this week's edition of Dakota Digest. If you want to hear more radio news stories or see additional programming of South Dakota Public Broadcasting, again, just visit us online at sdpb.org. Also, be sure to connect with us on social media by liking South Dakota Public Broadcasting on Facebook. You can also follow our Twitter accounts. They are at SODACPB, at SDPB News, at SDPB Sports, and at SDPB. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I am Nate Weck. Have a great weekend, everyone.